No, the people on Earth aren't going to realize how big a deal this is. There's a complete, total, thick velvet velour veil between the heavens and the Earth, and the people of the Earth cannot probe behind it. They can't part it. They can't look. They can't see. We are given such a glimpse behind the scenes, folks. You don't realize how privileged we are to be able to get this glimpse. And here the Book of Revelation is in every hotel room in America, thanks to our friends, the Gideons. Too bad it's the King James Version. But anyway, this stuff's sitting there, but nobody can make heads or tails of it. It's the Spirit of God that illuminates the Word of God to us. Hi, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and we are off on another adventure here, and we're looking behind the veil in the Book of Revelation to an amazing scene at the inauguration of the kingdom, the great convocation that is going to witness and going to play a part in Israel coming through the tribulation into her kingdom. Now, this is going to be as in the days of Noah. Keep that in mind. And in the days of Noah, billions of people were killed, literally billions of people. And 8 people were saved. It's not going to be much different in the kingdom. This has nothing to do with people being saved for eternity. The kingdom is going to consist of death and destruction and tumult and upheaval and great signs and wonders and bowls of wrath from heaven. But through this all, there's going to be 144,000 on the earth, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel who will survive it, who will go through it. Not only survive it, sorry, I misspoke there, they're going to thrive it. They're going to come through victoriously. And if you're not faithful at that time, there's going to be lots of excuses to bail out, because the pressure is going to be on, the deception is going to be slick, and you're not going to eat or buy or anything unless you have the mark of the beast, which is probably, or the name of the beast, the mark or the name. Take the name of the beast. The beast is going to be a system, an earthly system of barter, one world government, a unicoin. No, not a unicorn, a unicoin. What's that world coin thing that they have now? I don't know what it's called. But a global currency, that's going to be part of it. And yes, there may be a chip, there may be scans and all that stuff where you just put your hand there. Anyway, it's going to look slick and the whole world's going to go for it. And if you don't go for it, you're going to be thought to be the biggest weirdo and the biggest naysayer and the biggest wimp on the face of the earth. And yet, it takes a gift of God to see through it. I talked about this in Pennsylvania. Oh, by the way, Pennsylvania, you have got... Wait till Aaron gets these out. We had a meeting in Pennsylvania over the weekend, and it was at the Johnstown Airport. And as I like to say, I like it at the airport because then if somebody doesn't agree with what you say, you can just tell them, well, you just hop on an airplane and leave if you don't like it. Very convenient to say that at an airport. Plus, it's very near to our celestial realm. At least it's suggestive of it. So I'm going to let you know when those videos are out, and they're really, really good. You're going to want to hear this. So this great convocation is going to be, we're not going to be here. You're not going to have to make this decision of whether to take the mark of the beast or buy or sell. But an Israelite has to be faithful, and you have to overcome to eat of the tree of life. Anyway, this is what Israel is facing, and really it's not out of the question that they're thinking of these things in the book of Hebrews, because again, Hebrews was written in the interval between the promise and the fulfillment. What do we do in the meantime? You hold fast to the expectation and realize in chapter 12, where we are, that God disciplines those he loves. And if you're without discipline, then you're not a son of his. You're in fact a bastard. Now that's a scriptural word I'm quoting from Hebrews. You're bastards and not son. You dirty bastard. That's a scriptural word. Don't write me and tell me that I shouldn't use bad language. God wrote that word. It means you don't have a father, or you don't know who your father is. We know who our father is. And part of this is a transadministrational truth, because we're being disciplined as well. So back to Revelation. Behind the veil, the velour of the velvet curtain here, John gives us a glimpse. And I'm in verse 6 of Revelation 4. And before the throne, it is as a glassy sea. Again, these keywords were missing in Revelation, and I'm going to bring you up to speed on all these nifty, nitpicking words. As a as a glassy sea, like crystal, as a glassy sea, like crystal. And in the center of the throne and around the throne are four animals. This is the convocation again in Hebrews 12, a universal convocation. The word universal should give you a clue. They were not just convoking beings on the earth, but we're convoking the ultimate beings, the 24 elders who rule the 24 sectors of the universe. And around the throne are four animals. I got a lot to say about these animals when we get to the book of Revelation. The first animal is, of course, being the gab fest that I am. I'm going to tell you a little about it now. The first animal is like a lion. The second animal is like a calf. The third animal has a face like as a human being. And the fourth animal is like a flying vulture. This is interesting. And it is a side note, but I can't resist here. These are the four representations of Christ in the Gospels, in the four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The lion, that's Matthew. The lion is the Lion of Judah, the king. It speaks of a kingdom. In the book of Matthew, talks about Christ as king. The calf, the one animal is like a calf. This is Mark presents him as a servant. Mark, the account of Mark presents Christ as a servant. He's doing stuff for people, washing feet, and that's the calf. The calf just goes, that's a calf. That didn't sound like a calf? A donkey? No, that was a calf. It works. It's a servant. It's a beast of burden. And Jesus was a beast of burden, presented as one in the book of Mark. And the third animal has a face like a human being. This is Luke. Luke presents him as a son of humanity. Shows his human side. As a man, he suffers and he is tempted in all manner as we. And these four animals. The weird thing, King James, I'm going to review all this when we get to the book of Revelation. I know I'm going kind of fast, but what the King James Version is, it calls these beasts, is it? For beasts? These are animals. That's the literal translation. And A. Enoch makes it animals. And these are animals. And what is so cool about this, I shouldn't give this away. Should I give this away? All right. Wait a minute, I have to get to the last animal. So we got the calf and, the human being, that's the third animal. Speaking of Mark, presents Christ as a servant. And the fourth animal is like a flying vulture. Not an eagle, it's a vulture. A vulture is better than an eagle in many aspects. And we're going to get to that when we get to the book of Revelation. Be patient with me. You're really going to have to be patient with me. And you are. I appreciate that. I'm trying to juggle all kinds of things. Kitchen utensils, bowling pins, oranges, hoops, rings, and poodles. And it's very difficult. So I'm really trying. I got the newsletter going. Always writing a new video. And I'm working on the books. And I'm doing this show every day. I'm speaking at conferences. Planning a trip in the summer. So I appreciate. And then the email. The, as Paul would say, solicitude for the ecclesia. I take it very personally to answer your emails, to answer your questions. They're coming in fast and furiously. So I appreciate your patience. Listen to this. The vulture. This speaks of the account of John, who presents Christ as the Son of God. People say, why do we need four accounts? They're all different. They all present different face of Christ. And these animals represent that. And they also represent the lower order of creation on the earth. These animals represent the whole animal kingdom. The animal that looks like a lion, the one that looks like a calf, the one that looks like a human, the one that looks like a vulture. You might think, oh, Martin, this is really creepy. This is science fiction. Yeah. No kidding. This is science fiction like you have never seen before, except it's real. And we're getting a glimpse here into a world, a spiritual world. See how excited I am about Revelation? I'm supposed to be in Hebrews, and I can't stop talking about this. We're getting a glimpse into a world that we barely think about because we're too busy worrying about our little 31 squares on our calendar. What we have to do today, we have to get our hair cut, take the kids to practice, make sure they do their homework, pay our taxes, all that. Garbage, but it's not garbage. I'm sorry now that I called it garbage, and this is why. And I think about this all the time, and I'm going to give it to you now because this is really helpful. He or she who is faithful in little will be given much. If you feed your cat every day and make sure that your cat or your dog has food and water. God is making a note of it. If you make sure your kids do their homework, and it's not easy to stay on top of them, not literally, well, maybe on occasion, it's no small thing. When you do the honest thing, I just had this happen to me. I should tell you this. I had a moral dilemma the other day. I was telling you earlier, I think, about the ding I got on my windshield, and it started to crack across the windshield, and I said I employed humor with the guy, right, the guy at State Farm, and he said, I tell you what, Martin, call me in 2 weeks, because I just got the collision, which I called the, I didn't know it was called collision, I thought it was called wind blows a grocery cart against your car insurance. They call it collision, whatever, and the guy said, call me in 2 weeks, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I'll take care of it. In other words, this guy's going to set me up because technically I wasn't covered, but now I got the coverage. So I called the guy, 2 weeks went by, which was like 2 days ago, and he said, okay, Martin, I got you all set up. Here's your account number. You call this glass company, and they'll take care of it. I said, cool. So I called the company, and I got a recording. And the recording said that when I would be hooked up with a live representative, I would have to have some information for them. I would have to be prepared with my account number, my name. I knew both of those things. I would have to, what was the other thing? Something else. And here was the biggie, and the date of the damage to my car. And I said, oh, geez. Because the date, it was a year and a half before, and yet I had just bought this coverage, and yet this agent was kind of fudging it for me, maneuvering it so that I got the insurance after the accident, but I knew there was a dilemma here, because if I told them when the accident happened, they were going to say, well, why did your agent send you here for a claim when your damage predated the insurance coverage? So I called my agent and I left a message with him, and I said, I didn't talk to a live representative yet at this place you told me to call, but I know that I'm going to have to give them the date. And I don't know the date, but I know that it was a year and a half ago. And he said, well, you called me Wednesday, right? He goes, it happened Wednesday, right? It happened Wednesday. That's when you called me, 2 weeks ago Wednesday. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you have any more difficult questions, Martin, let me know. I'm like, oh, Jesus. So in other words, I was going to have to lie, and I couldn't do it. I hung up, and I go, oh, jeez, because I knew it was going to cost me some money, which I don't like to spend. I figured it was going to be around $300, and I was getting all set up to not pay anything, and yet I would have to say that it happened 2 weeks ago when it didn't. So I wrestled with that for not very long, and I couldn't do it. I could not lie. So I called the glass company. I called Safe Light, which they were fantastic. Safe Light in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Wonderful people there. The guy got me a deal. He brought it down as much as he could. It was $208 for a windshield replacement. They were very nice. They did some extra work for me, and I gave him a tip. And yeah, it hurt, but it was the right thing to do. And so when you're faithful in a little, and I never told the insurance guy that I didn't use the claim, but I just didn't do it. But when you're faithful in a little, God takes note. The celestials take note. And if you feed your cat, you're going to be put in charge of a city. You see, it means a lot, these little things. Now, I don't want you to drive yourself crazy with that. Don't want you to overanalyze your life and make yourself miserable. However, do the right thing. Do I always do the right thing? I doubt it. But your conscience will tell you, if you're reading my studies, my newsletter, and the book of Romans, the conscience is what God gave you. And you know when you go against your conscience. You know it. And you can't sleep, and you writhe, and you bang your hand against your head, and you go, God, why is this so difficult? And it's hard to do the right thing when there is a temporal advantage to be had for doing the wrong thing. But I exhort you to do the right thing. You're not going to do it every time. And we're justified. And yet we're not to use our justification as a carte blanche. That's a little Francais there. To the flesh. So I hope that little anecdote helped you. We all face these little things every day. The Hebrews are going to face huge, huge, huge decisions during the tribulation of whether to take the mark of the beast, whether to betray Christ. Peter faced it and failed. I don't even know the man, he said. He caved under the pressure. And if even Peter could cave under the pressure, then you know millions of Jews are going to cave under the pressure and they're not going to make it into the kingdom. Thank God we don't have to worry about this because we're not under pressure. Christ did it for us. You can thank God. I don't care what kind of day you're having. Thank God today that you are not under the Israelite call. You are called by grace. You can't blow it. Even if you go against your conscience 100 times a day, you can't blow it because you're saved apart from works. You're saved by grace.